الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد. So the next disease we're going to talk is it doesn't have an exact term, but it's this tendency to get superstitious about things. So falling prey to superstition. And we don't see this as much here in the West. But you go to back home and it's rife, right? And so there's bid'ah everywhere, like everywhere. And they have all these type of customs and beliefs. And it's if you ever go and try to talk reason to any one of them, you cannot talk them down from the roof. It is so entrenched in their very being. Like, this is the way reality is. I mean, there's no two ways to discuss that. And even though you think that doesn't exist here in the West, there's a lot of subtle, you'd be surprised how many very educated people still have these subtle tendencies to fall prey to superstition. And I'll give you some examples. Like, sometimes people think that there's a bad number, so they're going to avoid it, right? Number 13. Even though you might not believe that walking underneath a ladder is bad, then like, oh, I walked underneath a ladder, or a black cat crossed my path. Right? These are things that you see in cartoons, but they have a basis. Like, people recognize that. One of the things you actually might see a lot of times at work is like knock on wood, right? Like, you say something, they say like knock on wood, so that you don't lose. Basically, something good happens, they don't want that ni'mah to go away, and so they say that. And actually, I was reading in this one it was a BBC article about the evil eye, and how it was pretty ubiquitous, the evil eye, this concept of an evil eye across cultures, but how that even plays out in the modern day, like, you know, workforce, where when something happens, people sort of shy away from. It's like this reflex. So someone made a really great thing on a particular IT project, and they're like, "Oh, did you do that?" He's like, "No, you know, it wasn't just me. It was us as a team." And it's not like he's trying to be humble. They just feel like if they say it, then something's going to happen and it's going to go away. Like, why do you think that? It's not like they have a direct concept of evil eye. But people are very, sometimes very cagey, right? So, oh, what'd you get in your SATs? Oh, it was okay. No, but what did you get? It went okay. Why don't you want to say it? Because they feel like if I open that up, somehow I'm exposed. And somehow some force is going to come and take it away. It's very primal. It's very primal. It's not very well defined. But it has to do with some very paganistic tendencies that exist, primal paganistic tendencies that exist within individuals. And what's another very good example of this is astrology's horoscopes. Or people like, you know, that this is my, I don't know, what do you call them, like Gemini and Taurus, what do you call that? Zodiacs, right? And it's a big thing, like, on the dating scene. Right, like, you know, what's your sign? It's like almost a pickup line. You know, that what's your sign? Because people still feel like somehow these things factor into it, and obviously, like in Hindu tradition, it's a big deal, like astrology, and that actually factors into finding your spouse and so many making decisions and all that. And it doesn't matter. These are people who are like, you know, Mayo train. They're coming here, but they don't drop that. It's still sort of, you know, deeply entrenched. Reading the horoscope. Like, if you really didn't have that type of draw, like, why is it in your Sunday paper? Right? I mean, you could say, yeah, it's just for amusement, but maybe not. Like, you know, I mean, why do you get those little, what do you call that, little scrolls in your Chinese crackers, when, you know, those fortune cookies when you go to the Chinese restaurants? So people read that and they're like, whoa, how did it know that about me? because everyone is in the same situation as you. That's why you write like really vague stuff. It's like someone listens to us that, you know, that song, that, my God, that's exactly what me and, you know, Rohma are going through. Yes, and every other like couple in, you know, in the same zip code, right? It's not specific for you. That's why they were designed. I mean, the songs were written that way because they had wide appeal. It's, you know, art reflecting reality. So, yeah, horoscopes and all of these things are not, you know, allowed in our deen. Why did the deen stop you from doing it? Sometimes people say, "Hey, it's just having good-natured fun," but it's actually super dangerous. It's super dangerous because these type of tendencies are what eventually lead to. It's very close to the heart, and then it gets very close to the aqidah of an individual, like your belief system. And when a person starts to form a very strong belief system, I already told you it's very hard to deconstruct, which we ever sit and talk to these type of people. They might be cagey about it and not let you know what they really feel about that, but inside they're sort of afraid about it. But once it's there, it's sort of there. And if you let it progress, that's where a lot of these very, that's where deviant sects come from sometimes. That's where, what's that called? The occult sometimes rises from. And you gotta think that there, some of these people who, there's people, this is the same tendency of people who think like God talks to them. Right? They get like super, I shouldn't use the word Sufi, but for lack of a better word, like become super Sufi about everything. Right? That like normal occurrences in life, but then they start ascribing supernatural meaning to like normal things happen, right? And happening in their life. So I don't know what you're saying. Like they'll come and ask you, "Sheikh, you know, I was at work yesterday and, you know, my boss came into my office." Like I wasn't expecting my boss to come in. They just like, they came into my office. I was just doing my job, you know, and the boss comes in and, you know, they say, "Ahmed, you know, we have to have a talk. You know, your performance is really not up to par. And, you know, you need to start coming in on time, and you need to start, you know, increasing your productivity." And, you know, I was listening to this, and subhanAllah, you know, I was just thinking, you know, I was thinking of going to madrasa, and, you know, my boss came and told me this, and, you know, I think this is a sign, right? I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them. I'm like, "No, you're just lazy at work." Right? You just need to do a good job. Like, you have no income, and you have kids to feed. Like, get your act together and, you know, like, work. And sometimes it's even more, like, more oblique than that, right? That's sort of like, but they, you know, people are like, "I was, you know, driving, and next to me, a black car pulled up. Right? And I saw the license plate and it said YLM. And that's almost like Alif Lam Mim." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was right. You know, he was like reminding me that I have to go, you know, this way. And then, you know, I went to that street and there was a person there and he looked like Jesus. So then that means I have to be like Jesus. And, you know, I have to give the da'wah and I might be the next prophet. You know, it's like really far-fetched. But people like literally feel like they're like being spoken to God. Does it happen? Yes, there is something technically called ilham that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can inspire the heart of an individual, right? وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي. There's other examples, right, that you know, that there's wahi. It's referred to as wahi in the Quran sometimes, but what's meant is ilham. It's an inspiration. And it can occur. Right, but it's the exception. It's not like normal, like Mr. Normal Joe Schmo sitting with, you know, with your bagel at Einstein Bagels. You're not just going to be sitting there and like God is just giving you inspirations. More likely than not, that's just shayateen whispering, right, and taking you for a ride. And that's one of the ways that they mess with people's heads. And so these people, they and so, you meet people like that and. They're really sort of freaky, right? They're just like weird and disordered and way out there. So this negative type of thinking about something negative happening, if this happens, This is not Allah and our deen. Our deen cuts it into the cuts it at the root. Now, a person still might think, like, why would anyone sort of, you know, even lean that way? It's the same reason why, like, Marvel Universe is so popular, or Harry Potter, or something. Like, people, for many people, normalcy is not enough. It's just, life is too boring, right? It's just, like, there's nothing there. So they're looking for something more, something out of the ordinary. And that's one reason that people actually devolve and descend into the occult, right? It's not because people just, oh, I love shaitan. But, you know, like, you look at Marilyn Manson, like, openly professed satanic individuals, like, you know, when you go down into that slippery slope in that weird world, you know, people, so, who was that rapper that he sold his soul to the devil? Was it supposedly he's like, he does his pole dance into the abyss? That's with this whole Nike controversy. Lil Nas, right? So, like, you know, just selling your soul to the devil. But the jinns do this type of thing. You know, like, you do this for us, and then we'll do this for you, and then, you know, they make these trade-offs. So there is a basis for that. You know, selling your soul to the devil, basically makes hajjah to us, right? Do shirk with us. And in response to that, then we'll help you in doing X, Y, and Z. And so people feel, again, it's weirdly exciting in some way, I guess. You know, and then they feel like they are a wizard, or they are, you know, have these magical powers or something like that. And it gets at its root a chance just to feel special. You know, the same thing that makes you want to get the like on the Instagram is making that same person become a witch, right? There is, what do you call Wicca? Well, Wicca, right? So these people, it's a religion. And, you know, there's this website called, like, Nextdoor. Right, that you see people posting who move into your neighborhood, and you can. So a person just came in, and they're like, "Hi guys, I moved to the neighborhood. I'm a witch, right? I follow the Wiccan." And we're like, "What? Like, we didn't need to know that." But it's sort of scary. But, like, well, I'm not that type of witch. I'm a good witch. I don't know. Maybe there is such a thing. And this carnal paganistic influences, it really lends itself to falling into shirk, and to falling into this obsequious and abject extremist devotions. You see, for example, like there was this one guy who built a thing of Donald Trump and started doing puja to Donald Trump. You see this one guy, COVID came, and they, it's actually very graphic, but he actually, as an offering to his god, cut their own tongue, literally cut their own tongue, and it's like bleeding out, as an offering to the god to take COVID away from the world, because somehow that's so sincere and devotion, and I love humanity so much. It was a bloodbath, right? It was a bloodbath. And the paramedics got there in time, and they were able to save the individual. You don't even have to go very far. Forget about other religions. Look at the matam that the Shia do. If you actually, like, they have these gatherings where they get together in, like, these big houses, and they just go crazy. They're all wearing white in the beginning, and by the time you're done, it's literally like a bloodbath. And the people's fleshes are, you know, peeled open and exposed. It's like, you know, they had done surgery. The paramedics have to come in and take them to the hospital and, you know, sew them back up, because it's that extreme. Like, where does all of that come from? It comes from this disease of the heart somewhere, like this superstitious, sort of overly devoted type of attitude. And these are people who also engage in activities like the tayyur, we talk like taking a bad omen, and also aslam. You know, people who, aslam, this is what they used to do, they used to cast arrows, like, should I do this or should I not do this? So I'm going to cast divination with arrows. So I'm going to cast arrows. If the arrow comes out this way, then I should do this. If I should do this, I won't do this. It's sort of like, you know, rolling dice. And, you know, and, but there's a feeling, it's not just rolling dice and we're just going to do it. It's a feeling that there's some supernatural power that's coming through this, that's actually guiding me to make a decision, right? So it's like, you know, if you flip a coin, I'm not saying you can't flip a coin. It's this idea that somehow, like when I flipped it in its heads, it was God telling me, or whatever, some power telling me that, you know, I should be doing this or not doing that. And that's really, it's really dangerous for many levels. Number one, it tells you something about our deen, that we're not pessimistic people, right? Because, and the proof of that is, look, we're told that we couldn't take the ta'ira, right, the negative, the bad omen, but you're actually allowed to take good omens, right? That, you know, what's that called? One Sahabi came into the thing, and then the Prophet ﷺ took a good omen with him. It's called tafa'ul, right? It's called taking a good omen. So, for example, if Sa'ad, some person named Sa'ad, where's Sa'ad? Sa'ad comes into the room, I said, mashallah, happiness has come into the gathering. It's permissible, right? Inshallah. And Allah, inshallah, you take the opinion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah into the gathering. So it tells us, it's teaching us how to think, right, at a certain level. And what happens when a person like casts arrows and divinations, they're also relinquishing agency in their life, right? You're too chicken to make real decisions. And, you know, you have to sort of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is involved with everything, but part of being, you know, an agent of change and on sound footing in life is the ability to take action and to take responsibility for the consequences of those actions, whether they be positive or negative. You can't live in cowardice. Some people are just so scared. And they do that, and people lean on different ways to get around that. They never grow up. Sometimes people will even lean on their sheikh, right? So they have a sheikh, and they say, we can't make any decision until we ask our sheikh. The job of a sheikh is not to tell you what car should you get, a Honda or should you get a Toyota. It absolutely has nothing to do with, you know, what does that have to do with deen? But if you go back home, you see these murshids, they say, nahi, nahi, shadi nahi kar sakte, pehle murshid se puchna, right? We need to go and ask our murshid. And it's actually an abdication of agency because it's laziness and it's also cowardice, right? They just don't want to think for themselves. One thing is going to ask them because you want to know what the better thing to do is in the deen, or you want to make mashura, washawirhum fil amr. All of those are good intentions. But when it becomes sort of a cult of personality, then that's, it goes out of the realm of something which is positive to something which becomes negative. And there's terrible situations, right, like that happen overseas because of that, because then they exert power and they defraud individuals and all these other terrible things. So what is the treatment for this? The treatment is to ignore, right? Ignore these whisperings and plow through it. If you feel something's happening, I'll give you a very simple example. Forget about, this is something I think everyone can relate to. Something's happening and you get a bad feeling, right? You're like, I don't think I should go to masjid, right? Or I don't think we should have the party tomorrow. I just have a bad feeling. It's no out of nowhere, no basis, nothing like that. Now, I'll tell you, if it stops you from doing something good, then yes, I mean, that's not okay. There is something, though, called intuition. I'm not saying that there's no place for intuition. And one of the scholars, he actually mentioned that that's also a type of firasa, right? That sometimes you have an inkling and your heart doesn't feel set well. But this happens ahyanan, right? This happens on occasion, then you can sort of follow out on that because maybe your heart is telling you something, but don't make a habit of that. That's not how we live our normal life, right? We should live like very normal people, that, you know, I'm a normal human being, I go and make normal decisions, I just follow the normal Quran and Sunnah, I'm not receiving some special revelation from God. There's not angels coming and talking to me and telling me what to do. If it is, it's more likely a hallucination than a real angel, right? I mean, then you might need to see a psychiatrist rather than go to the sheikh, you know. But because people really feel that way, you know, and it leads people astray. And I mean, the proof of it is on the bottom shelf of my, on the bottom shelf of the middle row of my bookshelves, there's a book from 10 great Muslims. Right, this someone mailed this to my house. 10 great Muslims, and it's really sneaky because this guy was a Muslim and he became murtad. He left Islam. He's an ex-Muslim, and he talks about the journey that 10 people took to leave Islam. And so they were great Muslims because they left Islam. And he starts the story by himself. And you know how he left Islam? So he was, I don't know, he was had all these issues, and then he was going to church, and he was in church, and, you know, he saw this figure of light, right, that came before him. And it was 6 feet tall. And he's like, it's Jesus. Or I don't know what he was thinking. And he said, this was the sign that, you know, this is the truth. And now it's such a deeply conviction in his heart because he saw a miracle, right? I'm like thinking, bro, if you were here, I'd tell you my son is taller than your God, you know? But like, what are you worshiping? But people are like, these things happen and then they ascribe over importance to them and then they go off the deep end. So one thing is to plow through it. That's basically the main point to be made about that. Then I'm going to save Riyah for tomorrow because that's like a big one.